You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
ECU, Pirate Nation, purple and gold family, stand to your feet, put your crossbones up, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, come on, yeah, welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank or the Shark Tank trays beware, because we got a whole bunch of riding sailors.
You're watching the Pirate Football Playback on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on our YouTube channel and Facebook Live as we talk East Carolina football. Now, here are the guys.
Welcome into the Pirate Football Playback right here on the Sports Objective. It was brought to you by, presented by L&K Custom Homes, and give Kevin Walker a call, and we'll give that number for you in just a second. But welcome in. Let me do that first. 336-688-8461. Thank you, Kevin Walker. Appreciate you, KK, for your support, continued support of the program, going all the way back the last few years with us and sponsoring the show the last 2 years. And want to bring in Bubba Rosenbaum, China Grove. You know, Bubba, you and I were talking in the green room before the show. You and I were going to be talking tonight about the tragedy of the plane crash. But now, before we get to that with Marshall, we had another tragedy that happened late last night, or late in the evening, Sunday evening, around 10:15 in Charlottesville.
Yeah, so senseless. You know, former player there at the University of Virginia. I believe he last played in 2018.
Correct. One season.
You know, murdered three of his former teammates, I guess, or at least some of them. I haven't had the time to read a lot of the articles and information that have been put out, but I know three current players, and then there was another one that was in critical condition in the hospital, and then another one that was in good condition in the hospital. So hopefully that one that's in critical condition will be able to pull through and you know, be able to move on from this and live a normal life. And you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to those three who lost their lives as a result of this senseless act of violence.
Absolutely. Thinking about Virginia Tech and what happened to them in April of 2007. And Bubba, you and I were, I believe you were there at that game in Blacksburg, when we gave East Carolina dead, Terry Holland and company gave $100,000, and the student section, I believe they said, thank you, Pirates. And just to think about this, I mean, this is just unbelievable. You think about it, like one of the guys, a linebacker, his name escapes me. I'll look it up here in a second, but he played on Saturday, Bubba. He just played on Saturday. And you think about, you and I have a boy and a girl. It'll be about a decade from now, and they're going to be going to college. Like, Do I have them where they just take online classes here at home? I mean, we want them to have the, you had a college experience, your wife, Stacy, I've had a college experience. And so you want them to be able to go home and have, go away from home and have some independence. But at the same time, am I doing my job as a dad to allow them to go to a town? You know, it'll be most likely Greenville, right up the road. We know that anything can happen, and it could probably even happen here at our houses, but just very sad situation in Charlottesville, and we hope that somehow they can get through with this and move on. As we bring in Kyle Barber, Kyle talking about the tragedy in Charlottesville, and we're thinking about them. It's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, I don't know what went through that kid's head. I'd love to know why he did that. There's no good reason why, but you still would like to know why. To kill three young men, injure two others. Just in general, you have to wonder what's wrong with people these days to do those kinds of crimes. And obviously, this wasn't a random mass shooting. This was targeted. I don't know. You hate to speculate as to reasons why. You some of them are pretty obvious, you know, with them being a former player and those being five current players. But very sad. I couldn't believe it when I read the news this morning. And guys, has there been any, I don't know, in a secondary, does Virginia play this weekend? And Has there been any talks of if they're playing the game or what?
I haven't heard. I can look up and tell you who they're playing in just a second. Yeah.
I was going to do that as well. I do know that they were scheduled to play a basketball game tonight, and that game it was at least postponed, and it's to be determined as to whether it will be made up or not. And the basketball team's next game is either on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, they have guys. They have a home game against Coastal at 3:30. Is what it's showing me.
Very interesting. That's right. They do play Coastal non-conference. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if that game gets played. I don't know. There's a lot of money in football. Obviously, you can't make that game up. Coastal is playing on championship weekend. So
it's a tough situation.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll play it, though they might not, since it's a non-conference game that could potentially back out. I would expect the game to be played. I would expect you'll see an announcement on that by tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can argue it both ways. You could argue that you can do a tremendous thing, to honor those three guys, and it may be there's a one in critical condition, so it could be a fourth one who passes away. God forbid. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't happen. But there's one in good condition and one in critical condition. Even tonight, I double checked. There's no change in the status from this afternoon. So I have my news hat on. It's just an unbelievable situation. I can't believe it's, for somebody that likes to talk, it's something that I'm without words. And we just pray for this country. We pray for, obviously, this particular case. You pray for the victims, their families, the people that were on that bus. They have to live with a tragedy, too.
Did he enter the bus or did he shoot the young man coming off the bus?
That's what I think. They say that the bus had bullet holes in it, and they took the bus, of course, and impounded it for evidence. So I'm wondering the back of the bus. I'm wondering if he shot, he was outside and shot.
Well, at the same time, even inside the bullets, it would spray, and I don't know what he shot with. I don't know if that's been reported, but
I haven't heard yet.
The bullets would go through either way, whether you're shooting from inside out or outside in. Bullets can penetrate metal and go through.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't bulletproof, and there's no words to describe. Like, I've been thinking about that all day. Like, I knew we'd do the show tonight, and Kyle, right before we went on, we were talking about how we knew we'd be talking about this day is very special, not in a not so good way for the Pirates as far as playing Marshall and the plane crash. And then this was technically last night at 10:15 when this took place, but it's still, we found out about the story early this morning on the 14th. So I never would imagine in all my years that we would have another tragedy to talk about on November.
Yeah. Yeah, totally different kind of strategy. I mean, obviously a loss of life is a loss of life. One of them was an accident.
Right.
That may or may not have been preventable. This one right here is just a senseless act of violence. It's unforgivable, and I hope the young man is punished to the fullest extent of the law. I don't know if Virginia has the death penalty. If it does,
he's been charged. Well, he won't get the death penalty. He's been charged with three counts of second-degree murder. So
The charges can be changed. Charges can be changed, and I don't see how second degree murder. This is clearly premeditated. So I
agree with you. I'm just telling you what.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
He had. I mean, there's no way. It's not like he didn't know. It's a former player. He didn't. I don't think he played a down, guys, in 2018. I want to say he was a running back, but anyway,
that's right.
He shot three players. One who played on Saturday.
Killed three.
Right, shot five, killed three. I was even thinking about.
I don't know. I need to go look at Virginia's laws to see I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but also I'll simplify. What makes a second degree charge versus a first degree charge? I need to go to look those laws up for Virginia because it does vary from state to state, but. Man, this seems like first-degree murder.
Okay, and Bubba has a picture I know to put up of the young men, so we'll do that in honor. Just Oh, man.
Yeah, from left to right, Deshaun Perry, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Devin Chandler.
Perry played on Saturday. He's a linebacker.
Yeah.
He played on Saturday, so that they were interviewing a student. Like, they were just at the game, see him play on Saturday, and they were interviewing students, and they were talking about how, you know, last night they were thinking about their homework and their academics and what they had coming up this week. And little did they know that this morning when they woke up, they were fearful for their lives and their other friends, you know, the people on campus, people they didn't know. They were worried if more students would be killed when they were under lockdown for, I believe it was 12 hours. So sad day. And also, guys, it just shows you, you know, how much we love football and we talk about, you know, sports. And we hate to even have to talk about this, but I thought it was, I mean, I think it's important that you have to. And, you know, we try really hard to stick to the X's and O's, but we have the Jimmys and Joes, and we realize that's a reminder there that this is something.
Well, some things are way more important than football. And
yeah.
Human life is obviously way more important than football. And unfortunately, that young man, whether he was mentally ill, I really don't care. Unfortunately, he didn't think human life was more valuable.
He's apparently had a troubled past. I don't know if he's from Richmond, but the Richmond paper they had where they even honored him for overcoming whatever. I don't know if it was the neighborhood he lived or what, but I heard that this morning. But certainly there's some demons there to do something like that. And, you know, the one thing that I tell everybody is that people I know personally, work with, different ones, if you need help, get help. We're in an age where we've got to come to grips with mental health. And I'm not going to get on my political soapbox, but mental health is always swept under the rug. And the politicians always take the money away from mental health. And I'm hoping that they'll see that mental health is a really big deal in this country and to do something about it. It's not an easy thing to fix.
Well, to me, Dave, it's not political. To me, mental health should not be a political issue. You said political soapbox. To me, it's not a right or left thing. And it shouldn't be. If you need help, get help. If you know somebody who needs help and they're going to hurt someone or themselves, then it's your obligation to get them help. You go and you can have another adult committed to a psychiatric institution in most states if you have evidence that they are planning to hurt themselves or someone else. And it's your obligation to do that. And I'm not saying anybody knew he had these plans, but I'm telling you, take it serious, man. When you hear people saying repeatedly, I'm going to kill myself, for example, do something about it. You know, go get them committed if you can. And certainly if you hear someone talking about murdering people, either go get them mental health or go to law enforcement. Do what you can, do your part. And if you get ignored, at least you tried.
You did the right thing, warning the authorities that something was going to happen. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
Yeah, and you can, like I said, there you can also, there's other things you can do to have people committed. So, and I don't know if anybody had any evidence of this. I'm not suggesting that.
Well, they actually,
prior knowledge.
They had an issue. There's an issue with concealed carry, and there was an issue where apparently there's sketchy details of him telling someone or telling people he had a gun.
So he had illegal concealed carry?
I don't know. They didn't give detail. They didn't go into depth of what that meant, like about things in the past, you know, of his past. But
I'm just curious what weapon he used, because
Dave, right here, I was reading an article that said his UVA employee spoke with Jones' roommate. This was regarding a previous incident. It said on September 15th, UVA student affairs learned from a student that Jones had talked about possessing a gun. And the student never saw a gun and no threat was made at the time. The student made the report as part of a hazing investigation, said Brian Coy, spokesperson for UVA. UVA employees spoke with Jones' roommate who had not seen the gun. And let's see, it said that UVA learned that Jones had been tried and convicted of a misdemeanor concealed weapons violation in 2021. He received 12 months suspended sentence.
Okay.
In small fine.
That means he concealed a weapon. He did not have a concealed carry permit.
Right.
He had a handgun or some sort of gun, most likely a handgun. because it's kind of hard to conceal a long rifle. He had a handgun concealed unlawfully. And so, you know, I own three guns. I have a 357 Magnum, a 12-gauge shotgun, and a 22 rifle. And I think everyone should have the right to bear arms. And I think if you're going to use guns for home protection or for hunting, that's one thing. But for a young man who's a college student to be concealed carrying legally or illegally, it's questionable. And unfortunately, in this case, it was a prelude to violence to come. And I know it's sad, and sad for those, the family of those kids and all the UVA football players and all their friends. And I don't know what more you say about it, man. It's just, it sucks.
Yeah, especially when we do a show about sports where we're talking about the Pirates and we're talking about, and we always talk about other games, like on the Inside Slant on Thursdays, about upcoming games. Sonny Semenza has the top games of the week that they talk about and break down. But here we are talking about a tragedy. But we want to respect those in Charlottesville. What a great college town. It's great. I've been there back in 2005, 2006, somewhere in 2006, I believe it was. People very friendly up there. I enjoyed it. Love that area up there. No, I'm not a Virginia fan, but I did like the campus. Reminded me just of being a college town like Greenville. It's not, it doesn't look like Greenville, but I love college towns around the country. I think they're fantastic, and I feel right at home there. Of course, my love is in Greenville, so I'll make that very clear. But that was I went to a coaching clinic there, and it was when Al Groh was the coach, and went up there. It was a good time, and just sad that when you go to, you think about it, these kids are going to college now. They've had COVID, all this crazy stuff going on. It's just sad that they have that kind of college experience.
And Dave, Richard Allsbrook, always appreciate Richard chiming in on Facebook. And Richard said that he hopes the Pirates on Saturday afternoon, obviously the 2 o'clock game with Houston, he hopes that we're able to honor those Virginia players in some way at Saturday's game.
Yeah, I would.
I think that goes without saying. I think it's just a matter. We'll see how. Go ahead, Kyle.
I was going to say, yeah, I would imagine most schools will do that. You, if it's nothing but a simple 5 second moment of silence, you know, it's really easy to do.
Yeah, and you know, this, the thing about it, guys, the scary thing is, we could be talking about how three of our players were killed. You know, I mean, this could have happened. It could happen anywhere. And that's the thing that's scary, is that it happened for the folks in Virginia, but just because it happens there does not mean it couldn't happen in Greenville. That's not what I want. Just like I didn't want this to happen today. But I mean, how do you, that's the scary part. How do you protect your players? You know, if you're Mike Houston, think about all the times they're in their apartments. They may be downtown. There's all kinds of, uptown Greenville. They go shopping, they go somewhere, who knows?
Well, it's just like anything else. And you can't predict and you can't prevent. You can try, like I said, with the mental health stuff, but just from a personal level, you always need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be aware of everybody around your surroundings. Have a plan. Look, I don't know if you guys do this. I'm the type of guy, I have often, you know, in large crowds, certain places, thought of mass shooting situations and how I react and what I would do in those situations. And I always try to come up with a plan. And, you know, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the mouth, so to speak. But I would suggest everybody do that when you be aware, come up with what you would do. Because that's the only way you have a chance. And that's just in general, not speaking to this situation specifically, but I would advise everybody, male and female, to start having that mindset. I do. And I think of exit strategies, ways to hide, the fastest way to get out of places. I can tell you at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium where I sit, my plan would be to haul ass and run into the opposing locker room. That's my nearest point of exit or nearest point of safety because I sit on the north side ramp. And I, God forbid, I'm not trying to talk that up. I don't think that will ever happen. We have great security coming into the games. It's just an example. So I would suggest everybody else have that mindset as well.
No doubt about it. Let's also talk about November 14th, 1970. Bubba, man, I knew we were going to talk about that. We Are Marshall. What a great movie, obviously. And but that tragedy of the Pirates winning that day and Marshall flies home and they almost are home and they have the tragic plane crash killing everyone on board on that infamous day, November 14th, 1970. And every November 14th is very special, not in a good way, but it's kind of like a bond that we have between both programs. Another reason why I feel like we should play them, not every single year, but on a regular basis for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Could be a potential to play them in the Myrtle Beach Bowl this year.
That's true. That's true. The two, we'll talk about that later on the show. That's a tease of potential places. Bubba has great pictures here. Bubba, that's the crash site. I didn't realize. So it's that close to the road. I didn't realize that.
It is. You know, if you're coming into Huntington, right outside of Huntington, I think it's Canova. You're really on the outskirts of Huntington. Right before you get to the turnoff for the Tri-State Airport, it's maybe a mile and a half prior to that. And the marker is, as soon as you exit, I think it's 64, the road that takes you from Charleston to Huntington and beyond. That road, it was literally probably on a half a mile off the road. I couldn't be that close to it yesterday on the way home from our Cincinnati trip and not stop. And it was awesome to see it no matter what. But then to see it the day before the 52nd anniversary of the horrific crash was gave you kind of an eerie feeling as well. And a couple other pictures and folks have left a lot of pennies and folks who spell We Are Marshall in a couple of places around the memorial with those pennies. And there's a wider view of the memorial there.
Crazy stuff. But
obviously Bubba, had to be very meaningful for you to see the memorial and then have a moment of perspective, prayer, whatever you did while you were there. Obviously, you know, 52 years, he said?
Yeah, 52
years. 52 years ago. I mean, that you know, I can remember hearing players tell their stories about the meeting being called late at night and the coach. Who was the head coach then?
For East Carolina, it was
Mike McGee.
Coach McGee.
McGee. McGee, I'm subquoting here, saying, "Gentlemen, tonight we've lost some of our own kind," or something to that respect. And I can't imagine. I've always wondered, and we've talked to several ECU players that were on that team, but I can't imagine playing those guys, beating them, and then having guilt probably to this day that you won the football game.
In fact, John Cazza said on our show that Dave was about to mention is how the wrong team won that day.
Yeah.
He had tears in his eyes. I mean, you know, it's like you win. You have no idea when you win that game what's going to happen afterwards. I mean, that's just – I can't imagine. You could tell in his voice. His voice said it all. Man, I can't imagine. You know, and then Red that we had on the show, the assistant coach, he gave up his seat to go – recruiting.
Yeah.
I think it was in Virginia. And so he was going to drive up to Virginia, I believe, off the top of my head. And so he feels guilty because he gave up a seat and he could have been on that plane too. So just a crazy event as it was on the screen there. And just a little bit for you guys and ladies listening, It was about the fact that talking about the worst sports tragedy in the history of our country, no doubt. Well, let's move on to good news as Mike Houston, it's his birthday. And I know that the best belated birthday present, guys, that we can give Mike Houston is a win on Saturday at 2 o'clock on ESPN Plus, and that'll be against Houston. The Cougs come to town. And good news, we heard Keaton Mitchell and C.J. Johnson both healthy, both playing on Saturday. Roll out the balls, man. We could score a lot of points on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Got to get refocused. I'm still hearing way too much talk about Cincinnati. Got to get refocused. The potential is there to put up a lot of points. Houston does not play good defense. Have a very good offense. This is going to be a tall task for our defense. Very tall task. I think we could drop 50 on Houston easily. If we play to our potential on offense, we could have Keaton Mitchell, C.J. Johnson, Holton Ahlers, Winstead, Ryan Jones could all have huge days. The key is going to be our defense is going to have to play. If our offense is clicking, they won't have to play their best game of the year because I think we can outscore them. But if our defense plays lights out, it could be a lot of fun on Saturday because we will score on Houston.
Not a matter of if it's when.
Yep.
And as far as Houston's concerned, we'll be joined by Ted Pardee, the longtime color analyst on the Houston Network. We'll get his perspective tomorrow evening on our Pirate Preview. And going back and looking into that game against Cincinnati, we won't spend as much time on it since it's Monday night. And like we were discussing earlier, a lot of folks, have moved on and understandably wanted to move on after such a hard-fought, heartbreaking loss on Friday evening. But we did want to go back and highlight a few things. The Pirates, in many respects, played a very good game, took care of the football. It was just a couple of long pass plays, both of which were short passes that resulted in a 55 yarder and a 75 yarder. I believe it was the first one, the 55 yarder. It was going back and looking at it. I believe there was an illegal block there.
Very much so.
On the kickoff return, the 100 yard kickoff return, there was a clear block in the back. Coach Houston referenced it tonight on his weekly radio show. Jeff Charles asked him, he said, "Coach, what did you see when you went back and looked at the 100-yard kickoff return?" And he just kind of chuckled. He said, the first thing I saw was Kingston McKinstry just got clobbered in between the shoulder blades right between his right on his number. But it went uncalled. And he said, "We still should have made the play, but." I mean, that's hard to get over. I mean, just right there. I mean, you were looking at him being tackled about the 15 or 16 yard line, and suddenly it's to the house.
Yeah, and we also had the 2-point conversion. Clearly, a 2-point conversion, not called. That would have been 27 apiece.
I don't know if it was clearly.
Yeah, that was one that I could
should have been reviewed though.
Yeah, the very least it should have been reviewed. That one wasn't as obvious.
His foot in bounds. You only had to have 1 foot in bounds.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he possessed the ball. It should have been reviewed.
Yeah.
And the fact that it wasn't reviewed is criminal.
Yeah, that's the joke, that it wasn't reviewed.
It's pathetic. And Houston shouldn't have to use a challenge. And had he used the challenge, we'd have been out of timeout. So it wouldn't have mattered anyway because, the last possession. Might have been better off without it, but it's a shame that a call like that doesn't get reviewed. A couple other things to point out: obviously, early in the game, Keaton Mitchell steps out just barely. That would have been a touchdown. Obviously, it's been talked about ad nauseum, but we'll mention it here since we're looking back at the game. The targeting call on Keaton was blatant targeting. They were clearly trying to take him out of the game. I don't know if that was a rogue play by that player or if coaches encouraged that. I don't know. But it was a terrible play. Thankfully, it looks like he'll be ready to go Saturday. CJ, with that tackle at the end where he got dropped on his head. Thankfully, it was just a stinger, and he'll be ready to go Saturday. But a lot of self-inflicted wounds, and then a lot of piss poor calls by the officials and dirty plays by Cincinnati. But I don't know if you guys have anything else to say about it. But me personally, I'm ready to move on to Houston.
We had an excellent start to the game. Obviously, the safety, then the 47-yard field goal.
I can't tell you how many games I've counted over the years for different teams get a safety and then end up losing the game.
But after getting that 5-0 lead there, and having that late in the first quarter, and then you immediately have the kickoff return, and we just discussed what happened there, and then you had those pass plays, and you're suddenly behind 21-5.
But then, Bubba, I think momentum. I think that kickoff return, the crowd got into it, and I think we got rattled. I think it's the first time all year we've been rattled. BYU's crowd didn't rattle us, and thankfully we shook it off. But we did get rattled briefly in that, and it cost us.
I'd agree, and you also referenced where I was going with it. We were able to shake it off, that huge 72-yard touchdown to C.J. Johnson, 21-12, and then Cincinnati did tack on a field goal there to make it 24-12 at the break. But then in the second half, we came out, got a stop, and then we went right down the field.
I came out in the second half, and we had the ball first.
Sorry, we had the ball first and went right down the field. Then we got a stop, and then a couple possessions later, then we went right down the field. And so we went touchdown, punt, touchdown our first three possessions of the second half, and you really felt good about things. That second touchdown was the one right after the penalty that you referenced, the targeting against Keaton on the go route down the right sideline, where you had the half field safety come over, and so then you had it was great. How great was it to see Jalen Johnson after having largely been absent in recent weeks with his lower back injury? You saw, for our viewers there, what Dave's referencing after Jalen caught that skinny post for the touchdown. He found he knew where the camera was and went immediately in front of the ESPN camera and did a little wave like Dave did there at the camera. But
that was classic. I loved every second of that. I loved it. I was expecting the way the officials were calling the game. I was waiting for unsportsmanlike. I was waiting for it. I was like, they're going to call it. They're going to call it. And thankfully they didn't.
But then our final three possessions, we were only able to generate something like three first downs in our final three possessions. Put ourselves behind the chains pretty consistently. Obviously, Keaton was out of the game. Marlon Gunn did a heck of a job. He had 11 carries for 48 yards. And I think it was we were up 25-24. The Cincinnati punter, he got off a good punt, but I think Malik Fleming should have caught the ball about the 15 or 16-yard line. Ended up rolling down to the 2 or 3.
That was
and then either the first or second down play, Marlon Gunn takes it 23 yards out to the 26. I mean, that was coming right at where we were sitting, going toward away from the horseshoe end of the stadium. And you know, he was probably less than a step from busting that. Because I looked at my dad, I said, that was close to being 97 to the house. And obviously, I mean, who knows? With Keaton, because Marlon runs very well too. But very few people have the speed of a Keaton Mitchell.
No, if Keaton would have been in that ball game, we'd have won it. And I do want to point out one more thing, and I do want to get off this game, guys. And so, y'all keep talking about it if you want, but that punt Luke Larson had, that basically gave Cincinnati a short field to get in the field goal range.
30 yards.
Yeah, you can't do that. Luke, you got to be more consistent, man. And then another play where Luke spun the ball, laces in to the kicker, and we missed the field goal. So Luke has got to start being more consistent. He's 30 years old. He's been here a couple of years. You just got to be consistent. We're not asking you to make big plays. We're just asking you to make consistent plays. I'm not asking you to punt a 50-yard punt or a 60-yard punt every time or do something special. Just get the damn ball with the laces in the right direction and punt the ball consistently. 40 yards a punt, 45 yards a punt, we'll take it.
You'll take it, sure. And that very fact of, people got on Daffer. Of course, I was not happy that he was missing kicks, but you see that it's now we have another kicker and we have the same problem. So that's why I'm frustrated that we haven't changed. Nobody's talking about we need to change the holder like yesterday.
I think it's been looked at. It had to have been. Evidently, I can't imagine how in the world none of our quarterbacks held in high school. I mean, it seems like we'd have a backup quarterback that you could put in the hold. I don't know, but we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah, and the good thing about the positives that we'll take out of that game, guys, is the fact that, and I know where Bubba's going, I'll let him do the numbers, but I will tell you guys that if you look at these games that we played so far, we're playing the toughest part of our schedule. We were praying for, I think we're now upset because we know that that should have been a win. But if you look but the good news is that where we were getting embarrassed in the Montgomery area, now you have it where we're in every single game, and now we're upset because we're heartbroken.
And I do like our fans' attitude about this one. I haven't seen many people be negative. So what I hope is, and I hope I'm able to be there Saturday, cold sensitivity. Too. Cold sensitivity this round of chemo, man. Let me tell y'all something. Off topic, good God almighty. I walked out of that damn hospital today, and, it was only 50-some degrees, and it felt like needles poking me all in my fingers and face.
Wow.
Just brutal. But anyway, where was I going with that?
Saturday.
Please come out Saturday if you can. I'd like to have at least 40,000 people in there. I think the seniors deserve that. We got a chance to have a 9-win football team. Very realistic. Houston's very tough. They have the same record we do. They're 6-4. It's a big-time game. I am shocked it's on ESPN+. Plus. I'm going to tell you something. I think somebody at ESPN dropped the ball not putting this game on TV.
I agree.
Because it is going to be a shootout. It's going to be a fun football game to watch from an objective standpoint if you didn't have a dog in the fight. I think a very dumb decision not to put this on TV. But whatever. Who cares at this point? Maybe that'll help more people come out. So 2 o'clock kickoff, ESPN+. Plus. If you can be in Greenville, have your ass there. It's your last chance to tailgate. It's your last chance to watch Holton Ahlers play in Greenville. It's the last home game of the year. And, I'd be there if you can. There needs to be a damn good excuse for you not to be there.
And, again, we'll have our preview tomorrow night, that being Tuesday. But I will very quickly mention the Pirates are a 6-point favorite, and the over-under is 68.
and that makes sense.
Since you were talking about the a lot of points being scored.
Was that 50-18 then?
Houston, no, I don't think it'll be that lopsided. Houston can score. They're 6-4 for a reason. They give up a lot of points to everybody, but they score a lot of points on everybody. I'd like to break 50 on them. I have a score in my head. I'll save it for Thursday, as long as I fill up to doing the show. If not, I'll text it to you guys and y'all can get my score. But I think it'll be if the boys come out focused, I think it could be a fun game Saturday.
Yeah, and Bubba, can you give the stat about the last handful of games, what we're talking about in the green room before the show?
And by the way, another Big 12 opponent and another team that we haven't beaten in many years.
There you go.
Yeah. And Dave, yes, I will. Very quickly, I wanted to mention the far as Houston, the Cougs have only scored less than 30 points in one game, and that was that loss to Tulane, 27-24. Wow. Otherwise, you know, they had 37 against UTSA, and that was in overtime. They're in their current streak, during which they are 4-1, with the only loss being that 77-63 loss. Sounds like a basketball game against SMU.
Crazy, man.
But 33 at Memphis, 38 against Navy, 42 against South Florida, 63, as I mentioned, against SMU, and then most recently against Temple last weekend at TDECU Stadium, 43, in that 43-36 win over the Alf.
And I was watching the end of that game. Temple just ran out of time. They drove the ball all the way down to the 30, came up just short of a first down by a yard, and just ran out of time, or they were going to score up a touchdown and beat Houston. Houston can score on anybody, but anybody can score on them. I don't think Houston played in any cold weather yet this year, guys, so that right. could be interesting Saturday.
And a little bit more about Temple's offensive output against Houston. The Owls had 533 yards of offense, just 47 on the ground, but 486 through the air.
Yeah.
So you could see – I could see Zay Winstead and C.J. Johnson both have 150-yard days. Or,
wow.
Yeah, SMU kind of wrote the book on how to just light up Houston, and I would expect a lot of passing Saturday. But I will say this, with a lot of passing, I bet you Keaton has a couple of big runs.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking, by the way.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, you guys notice, and he's got to catch these damn balls, but trying to utilize Keaton more in the passing game this past week, which if he can learn how to catch a damn football, that could be deadly. You know, Chris Johnson was great at that.
Yep.
And with Keaton's speed, if he could get consistent catching the football, man, you talk about an even bigger weapon. Holy crap.
Yeah, and Bubba, tell Kyle how about – Keaton and his record this year for the season.
I got you. Yeah. As far as Keaton Mitchell obviously had a 1,000-yard season a year ago, the first Pirate running back to do so since Bentavious Cooper back in 2013. And Keaton Mitchell was 25 yards away. So on Saturday, assuming he plays, which everything we're hearing is that he will indeed play, and that everything that transpired on Friday evening was precautionary. So,
and what do you guys stand on that, by the way?
Go ahead.
Where do you guys stand on that? You know, I don't know what the concussion protocol was, but if he checked out, if they did the question and answers and he checked out, you know, I don't know if our training staff, I know you're trying to protect the young man, but if he goes through concussion protocol in the tent and is cleared, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but I'm just saying, if he was, where do you guys stand on that? Do you err on the side of caution and keeping him out, or do you say, hey, you checked out, go back in the game?
That's a tough one.
I'll simply say not enough information and obviously, Mike Houston's going to defer to the medical.
Yeah, I don't even think Mike would have that decision to make.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah. It's the ECU medical team with the trainers and team doctors that have that call, obviously.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, you know, when we have a chance to play for a championship, but then if you leave him in, and he could be out for the whole season. So, and even more important that we're dealing with his life. You know,
seems like there's a way to make these helmets safer. I don't know.
Yeah.
What can be done there? But anyway, looking forward to 8-4. You know, you don't want to limp into a bowl. You don't want to be 6-6. You know, you don't want to be going to Temple trying to get 7-5. You can get one number 7 at home. You can send the senior class, which is very important, out with a win. And Holton Ayler's, you know, be nice if Holton put up a career day on senior day.
I was going to talk about that, guys. It's hard to believe when I saw you go to ecpirates.com and they had the picture of Holton and senior day. He's been here so long. And then again, to think about that his career is over as far as at Dowdy Fick went on Saturday, it's kind of sad because we've gotten used to him having the steady hand with the quarterback position. It's sad, but I know at the same time, I know you're going to say, well, he's been here 5 years, but still the very fact of we've had that and it'll be interesting.
I think it would be sad if we lose. I think if we win, I think it's a very happy occasion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about the fact that that's the last time he'll ever play in Dowdy Ficklin, you know?
Yeah, he's got two more ball games after that. Holton and this team needs to leave a legacy and take a chance to win 9 football games, something that hasn't been done here since 2013 when we won 10, yep. Something that's only been done here 3 times this decade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and as you mentioned, Bubba, it would just be the second time this century if we were to win out that a team finishes with less than 5 wins, even those championship teams.
Less than 5 losses.
5 losses, yes.
And obviously folks knew what you meant there. But in 2000, obviously, not part of this century, 8-4, but then in 2013,
that was 8-4 with a bowl win. We were 7-4 and then finished. That was back when we still played 11.
But yeah, but from 2001 to present, that 2013 season when we went 10-3, that's the only time we lost less than 5 games. So, I mean, there's so much to play for this team. And they put themselves in. Yes, it's extremely disappointing that you can't win the conference.
I'm over it.
Yeah. I mean, to have the chance to.
The fact that we're talking about it.
To go 9-4.
Yeah. What would infuriate me is if this team finishes 6-6 now. This team is too damn good, and they owe it to themselves to come out focused and to put the Cincinnati game behind them because they're too damn good to finish 6-6 or 7-5. This is at minimum an 8-win regular season football team, and you got it in front of you. And now go do it. Go do it. Take this Houston game, flush it down the toilet where it belongs. Cincinnati game, rather. Flush it down the toilet where it belongs. Yep. Come out and beat Houston, and then get ready to go play a much improved Temple team.
So. Yeah, and I think actually it's good that the Temple team has been improved, improving.
Not me. If they were as bad as they were last year, wouldn't matter how bad we played, we'd have won.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying that my biggest fear is that we play very well on Saturday, we win, and then we go up there and not play well, and I think that there's going to be a lot of motivation if you're 7-4 going to Philly, knowing that our pass there was not always great. Or at least recent past, as my memory serves me.
Last time we went there, we won.
Yeah, I'm just saying overall, like we had the 2014 debacle, and I don't even know what our record is overall in Philly, but it doesn't feel too good.
Well, 1 win, and that's under Mike Houston. All the rest of them are losses. Going back, I'm talking about in present American Conference days. All the rest of them are losses, but. Houston did win his 1 trip to Philly, and hopefully he'll go 2-0 in Philly. And we'll find out in a couple weeks. We got Houston first. And to me, this game, huge game, man. 2-6-4 football teams trying to position themselves for the best possible scenarios to be in come bowl season. And by the way, not for nothing, and we'll get into this more Thursday. I know Dave has had a bone to pick with Luke Fickell. I think Dana Holgerson's the biggest piece of crap in college football.
He's made negative comments
about East Carolina over the years.
Yes.
There was a comment he made back when he was at West Virginia. And when he was talking about at the time there was no supplements being available. You couldn't, feed players, et cetera, except training table. And he said schools like East Carolina and Marshall being at the same level as West Virginia is the reason we can't feed our players, which was a complete nonsensical comment and something I never forgot. And a caller on Pirate Radio the other night said he had made the comment when Scotty was here, or at some point, that East Carolina was bringing down the conference with how bad our football program was. And I didn't hear that comment. I don't know if either one of you are familiar with that comment, but I was the person that called in Pirate Radio and said it was it's the lady that calls in all the time.
Monica?
Monica, correct.
No, I haven't heard that one. Of course, I can't stand him. Skullet, can't stand him. And, you know, I think he's extremely overrated. And I think for $4 million a year that the Cougs deserve better. That's just my opinion. But when you make comments like that, that have no, I mean, I don't know of anybody that was like, in other words, it wasn't like East Carolina's trashing West Virginia. So he makes a quick remark about that. That was just out of the blue and nonsensical comment. I mean, that was just really stupid. But anyway,
I can tell you this, this wouldn't be the first time that some Cougars came to Greenville and got pounded by a bunch of young men and bit off more than they could chew. So,
all right.
On that note, I'll go into some other comments on YouTube and Facebook. Robert Dedrick chimed in with a couple things. And the first was actually, isn't Shane Carden going to be at the game on Saturday? Yes, and the captain will be at the Houston game. And he also said, he brought this up when we were talking about Keaton Mitchell being 25 yards away from back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And Zay Winstead is 71 yards away.
Yeah, and I look for Zay. I look for Zay.
There are 72 receptions for 929 yards.
They didn't have his best game against Cincinnati. I bet you he shows out Saturday.
He's gonna like another one you were just talking about too. I'll tell you what, Ryan Jones is gonna be number four. Is gonna light it up. I just have a feeling about Ryan Jones. I think he's gonna.
And don't forget about CJ. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but.
And Richard,
there's potential there for a lot of points to be scored.
Yep, guys. Richard had a question earlier about if there'll be bowl representatives at our game on Saturday. Richard, I would imagine so. But
it's being our final home game.
Yep. I would think so, guys. I wanted to, with the remaining time we have left, I know we've been a little long tonight, longer than expected. But
no, it's a good topic because we don't need to break the Houston game down too much. You're going to ask about bowl games.
Yeah, what are you guys hearing? What do you think? And Kyle, obviously, I would like for it to be you and I to be hanging out with Bubba in Myrtle Beach. But
I personally, because of my chemo schedule, any bowls played the week after Christmas, I won't be able to go to. I'd love for selfishly it to be Myrtle Beach, but with the right opponent, I have no interest in playing Coastal Carolina in a bowl game in Myrtle Beach. But if it's Marshall, they need to win one more. They got to get to 7 because they play 2 FCS. App has to win out. I think they can do it.
They have to win 2 games, don't they?
Yeah, they have to win 2. They have 2 left. I think they can do it.
Old Dominion at home and then at Georgia Southern.
Old Dominion should be an easy win. They're playing horrible right now. Georgia Southern's a rivalry game. Who knows? But if it's Marshall, Old Dominion, or Southern Miss, I could get down with any of those three in Myrtle Beach. I did see one projection. American Conference USA and Sun Belt are the ties in that bowl. And one projection had Middle Tennessee. That wouldn't be too exciting, East Carolina, Middle Tennessee. But you know what? I'd take it and go down there and enjoy it and beat the Blue Raiders. They're a quality team. They beat Miami earlier. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling if today you asked me to guess, like if you put $1,000 on the line and say, you know, Kyle, if you get it right, you know, you'll get this $1,000. I'd guess Boca Raton. That's going to be my guess. My theory is DC is going to take the loser of the championship game this year, which will now be likely Cincinnati and UCF. So that's my theory. And I think if we get passed over by the Military Bowl, Birmingham's a possibility, but my guess is they take Tulane. So I think Boca Raton. And that I would like to play Coastal Carolina, and I've seen that projected. I think Coastal and Boca Raton on a neutral site, a top 25 Coastal team that I think is overrated because their schedule's weak. I think that could be fun. And the Military Bowl also, I think, is still a possibility. And I see a lot of people say Wake Forest for that one.
Yep, that's what Richard has up on the screen. Yeah,
I tell you who I'd like to play if we're going to play in that bowl, and it ain't Wake Forest. I like to play Syracuse.
Oh, man, yes. Syracuse is
Syracuse is going in the wrong direction right now. I think it'd be a good matchup for us.
Syracuse would certainly be easier to beat than Wake Forest, but at the same time, I'd love to play Wake because we owe Wake big time. They currently are on a 5-game win streak against us, and we have not played since 2005. And obviously,
02, play Duke. I think. What about Duke?
02, 03, 04. Those were some of our worst teams, and I know that's part of it. But it was a perfect storm. Wake was. That was really improving and turning into a solid program under Jim Grobe, and we were bottoming out.
Yeah, I'm all about winning, and I think we could beat Wake, but I think Wake could beat us. I'd give me the easier win because it's going to mean just as much. Beating Syracuse would excite our fan base just as much.
Oh
as
yeah,
of course.
In Syracuse, they early in those Holland years. According to what Terry said, they dodged us a bit.
I don't know. You know, part of me wonders. I'm sure the Fenway Park Bowl, which has not had a good matchup since the bowls existed, I'm sure they are chomping at the bit to get Syracuse up there if possible. If not, you know, that may be the last place ACC bowl. So if they can't fill it, I would expect UConn to get that spot. But another bowl opportunity that hasn't been talked about, the Independence Bowl would be another one that could potentially be an opportunity. And it looks like the Sun Belt is going to get that spot if Army doesn't fill it. If they have enough teams. If after that, I don't know where that bowl goes. Army's not going to be able to fill it, so you could have Louisiana or Southern Miss as the opponent in the Independence Bowl.
Can you
imagine how that ball has fallen? By the way, it's now the American versus Army or the Sun Belt. I mean, and I know in their contract there are some years that the Pac-12 has that bowl still, but it's interesting.
Now, Kyle, I had to step away for a moment. Did you mention the possibilities that we've seen, and we both agreed that it's very unlikely as far as the First Responder Bowl.
No, but I know that's out there. That used to be the
Now that would have been an awesome matchup to have the opportunity to play the Oklahoma Sooners.
That used to be the Ticket City Bowl, and before that the Dallas Football Classic. And I think just geographically speaking, that's going to be Houston or SMU. If somehow Tulane gets passed over from Birmingham, I could see them in that also.
That is the one in the Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl Stadium, correct.
Man, to play Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl.
That would be
unbelievable.
And to be clear, Cotton Bowl Stadium is what he's referring to.
Yes, sorry, Cotton Bowl Stadium. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't think it'll happen. It doesn't make any sense. But If I'm operating that ball, I'm taking Houston or SMU.
Yeah, and you're right about the Boca Bowl. I think that's probably most likely the bet because obviously we would like to have Myrtle Beach just close by. Somebody like App State, East Carolina would sell out the tickets like you guys have talked about a lot in our group text. But and then the Military Bowl, we should have played there last year. If they pick
us. You just don't know everybody's faults on that. You don't know. Yeah. The Military Bowl is like, yeah, we want East Carolina to make it right, or no, we want somebody else because half of their fan base already came up. You don't know how the team feels about it. The team might be, hell no, I don't want to go back there. We did all that last year, or they may be like unfinished business, let's go win the Military Bowl. So I don't know. I'd love to know where everybody's opinion falls on that. Me personally, I don't want it because I want to go to the bowl. I, The Buckaroo Ball, I could possibly go. It's the right week, but it's a long trip.
21st.
Say again.
Was that like the 20th or 21st?
It's before. It's the 20th.
20th.
Yeah. The problem is Lenoir County Public Schools, for some reason, does not close until the 21st. And Jessica's missed a ton of days with my cancer treatments. So she doesn't want to take 3 days off. Whereas with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, she'd only have to take 1 day off. So selfishly, I want the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I think it could be a fun matchup if it's Apple. I personally, because of the way they embarrassed us at the beginning of last year, and I think our team would feel the same way, I think we would love an opportunity to go beat the crap out of App State this year.
Oh, absolutely. The fan base, both fan bases care about football. It's not like,
And I think Marshall, despite we beat them last time, that's always a fun matchup.
Yep.
So either one of those would be good. And like I said, I Southern Miss would be good to me. I don't know how many of our current players know anything about the Southern Miss rivalry, with the exception of Holton Ahlers. But that would be fun also.
Yeah. The good news is that we're talking about a bowl, and we've been talking about a bowl for a few weeks. We've been bowl eligible. And we have a chance to finish strong and win 8 football games, still a 9 if you had the bowl game. So the fact that we could still go, guys, 9.
You know, and one that hasn't been mentioned. I don't know why this bowl hasn't come up. We're all forgetting it. The Cure Bowl in Orlando. That's another opportunity. Totally been forgotten about and hadn't been mentioned because we haven't been projected in it.
Is that January the 2nd?
Did they move that game to January the 2nd? It used to be like December 19th.
Maybe that's correct.
No, there's no way, because they play 3 bowl games in that stadium. They play
the
Cure Bowl, the Camping World Bowl, and the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
So, it still has to be early. But that's also against the Sun Belt. So that could be another potential spot for a Coastal or a Marshall or an App State in Orlando.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Friday afternoon, December 16th.
Wow, so, first bowl game of the year.
Yeah, so there you go. There you have it. That would be fantastic. I would like to see that bowl. But
it'll be a fun trip for Pirate fans.
It's not that bad of a drive.
Well, I mean, Disney World, Epcot, all that, lots to do. The opponent from the Sun Belt would need to be appealing, though. Yeah, I believe that is still against the Sun Belt, correct? I'm pretty sure.
I think so, yeah. That sounds right.
And Dave, to your point, though, as far as finishing strong, you think back, I guess about a month ago or so now, to when the Pirates were 3-3. We were talking about how challenging the upcoming 5 games, and a lot of folks were saying, well, if we can just go, if we can find a way to go 3-2, or I guess 2-2 in those 4 games going into Houston, that you would feel pretty good. And then, well, we went 3-1, and we were literally a play from being 4-0. And, it could have gone the other way as well at BYU, and then also that Memphis game. So you found a way to win 2 out of the 3 that came down in the wire, with UCF being the lopsided one, so to speak, 34-13, which was very exciting. But an interesting stat during that run, the Pirates had not turned the football over since that Tulane game. And we've also forced 7 turnovers in those 4 games. So plus 7, and that obviously was one of the many reasons that the Pirates were able to go 3-1 during that tough 4-game stretch.
Yeah, and hopefully we continue that, no turnovers. And right.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I remember, I remember after that Tulane game, people were saying, can we get 6-6? And now that's the worst case scenario. So let's get to 8-4 and then go try to win a bowl game.
And Richard Osbrook reached out saying App State in jeopardy of being bowl eligible. Yes,
correct.
That's correct. They're 5-5. They were 5-3. Then they've lost back-to-back games at Coastal Carolina, and then also at Marshall by a touchdown. So now they're in a situation where they have to win against Old Dominion and then have to win that rivalry game down in Statesboro against Georgia Southern to get to 7-5. And the reason that's the case, Richard, is because they had a scheduling situation, much like the Pirates did in Coach Houston's first year, where we played two FCS games against Gardner-Webb and William & Mary. This year, the Apps had to play two FCS games, one against the Citadel and then one against Robert Morris, because of, I believe that was due to Marshall coming into the Sun Belt and them not being able to schedule another game at the last minute, because I believe the Apps and Marshall were supposed to meet, much like East Carolina and Charlotte, as a non-conference.
Yeah. And by the way, also because of that, Marshall needs one more win. I don't know what the rest of their schedule looks like. You feel like they'll be able to get one more win without knowing their last two opponents. But they need one more win because they got to win seven. And I will say this, there is a caveat to that. If there's not enough bowl eligible teams, if one of them schools are 6-6 with two FCS wins, they trump any 5-7 team. So
that's right.
With James Madison not being able to go to a bowl this year, I haven't looked at the bowl scenarios. If there's a chance that, you know, we may need a 5-7, or in this case, a 6-6 with two FCS wins to fill a bowl spot, but it's happened in the past.
Marshall's remaining schedule: they go to Statesboro this week.
Tough one.
They play at Georgia Southern on Saturday night, 6:00, and then their regular season finale is in Huntington against Georgia State.
Okay, and that's also a tough one, but that's one they got to win to get. If you're playing at home, senior day for your bowl lives, I like Marshall to get the seven wins.
And also on the bowl front, you have Georgia Southern. 5-5 in Clay Helton's first season there. And they obviously, as we just mentioned in a roundabout way, have back-to-back home games to close out his first season against Marshall and App State, needing to win one of those two to become bowl eligible.
Yep.
It's I tell you what, I'm so excited about – I don't know about you guys, but – I was after the Cincinnati game, I was like thinking about how, you know, what bowl, and, you know, really down, I was like, man, why am I upset about like hurting our bowl chances when the fact is in the Scotty Mo days, we'd take any bowl. So I'm happy.
The only thing we did was eliminate ourselves from playing in the actual Cotton Bowl. Yeah. That's the only thing we did. All the other bowl games are still on the table. There, nothing's changed. In terms of that, everything else is still out there. We need to handle our business and win these next two, though, to be as appealing as we can. If we finish 6-6, that might be one way to guarantee the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I don't want to go to the Myrtle Beach Bowl that way, though. I want to win out.
For sure. And
we would make sure that also we can have a winning season.
That's another good point.
Yeah, so you definitely don't want to do that, because we've been there where we've lost the game, the bowl game, and not had a winning season. So we definitely don't want to do that. But I definitely feel you. I think there's so much to do. Myrtle Beach, easy drive. That bowl would sell out. Guys, don't you think that bowl would sell out in a day, maybe hours?
It depends on the opponent. If it's App, yeah. Marshall, maybe. Anybody else, no.
Yeah, with the right opponent, for sure.
Coastal, obviously, also, yes. I don't want to play Coastal there. And Coastal has stated they do not want to stay home for a bowl game.
And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I mean, by the way, did you guys see, this is off topic, off the bowl thing, but there was, well, it's kind of a bowl. Did you see where there's, I didn't know this, so maybe you guys did. Actually, there is already a barbecue bowl between, we have Campbell University and Gardner-Webb. Did you see that?
Okay, they call them that Eastern versus Western style barbecue. I guess Campbell would be, yeah, you consider that Eastern style. I didn't know that. That's their rival.
Weekend, I was surprised.
Who won that?
I don't know. I saw the headline about it was called a barbecue bowl. I'll have to look, but I just thought that was really
Gardner
funny.
Gardner Webb.
Carter, how are they doing this year, Bubba? I know they played a couple of FBS teams really close.
Gardner Webb, after that 42-35 win at Campbell, is now 5-5. But as you mentioned, they have played three FBS teams in those 10 games. And
great.
So they are 5-2 against non FBS competition.
And who's their head coach and what year is he in?
I'll have to look that up. Yeah, to your point, as far as how they've played against FBS competition, they lost at Coastal 31-27. They lost at Marshall 28-7. And then they lost at Liberty 21-20.
Yeah, they I'd like to look into their coach. If he's new there, he's got to keep an eye on.
No doubt. And by the way, guys, for those people that don't know, I'm a scheduling nerd. We play them September the 23rd next year.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Can we switch FCS opponents?
Yeah. So here's our schedule, by the way, just so in case you guys are wondering, we have the one of the big house, that's going to be a really tough one, Labor Day weekend on the 2nd at Michigan. We have the 9th Marshall at Appalachian State. And then we come back home to Gardner Webb. That's our non-conference next year.
Okay, it's not bad. Marshall and Greenville is a decent draw at App. Getting to go to Boone, that'll be fun. Yep. Obviously, the Big House trip. And apparently Gardner Webb needs to be taken very seriously.
Oh yeah, yeah. They've definitely improved. And but hey, let's worry about Houston and.
The head coach of Gardner Webb, third season, Trey Lamb. You guys remember the name Taylor Lamb?
Maybe.
App State quarterback.
Okay.
So I believe he is on the staff now at the University of Virginia, but I believe it's his brother, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, third year at Gardner Webb. All right.
I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Trey Lamb's father, Hal, was a very successful high school coach down in the state of Georgia. Okay. And Trey Lamb had played at Tennessee Tech as a quarterback.
Well, he's doing a good job, Gardner Webb. I don't know what his previous 2 years were, but he's doing a good job this year at a place that hasn't had much success in football. So, good for the Bulldogs of Gardner Webb down in Bowling Springs, North Carolina, a place I've never been to, never been near. Can't find it on a map, but that's part of North Carolina I've never visited, the Bowling Springs area.
I haven't either. I need to do that sometime. I'm happy because – my team just won on Monday Night Football, so the Commanders won 32-21 over the Philadelphia Eagles, who are no longer undefeated. So I'm very happy right now.
And here's
I'm very, very happy. Very happy.
But here's a tidbit from their coaching staff at Gardner Webb. Their co-special teams coordinator and cornerbacks coach, Jairo Wilson.
There you go.
Hey, wait a minute.
I don't know. It may not be pronounced the same, but it's spelled the same, so I'm guessing it is.
Hey, by the way, going back to the schedule next year.
How are the special teams, Bubba?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think as far as that's concerned, I don't think I really don't think we should be considering any changes there, because I don't think it's been a matter of,
I don't think it's coaching.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I think it's personal.
We talked about what happened on the kickoff. I think that, cause you look at it, as soon as another kicker was available, then they made the change, and Andrew Conrad made a 47-yarder. The one he missed was a long field goal, and he kicked the laces. I mean, you got to.
I don't think it's a kicker.
No, not at all. I was just going to say, Robert even mentioned, by the way, going back the schedule next year, we've got to play. This is going to be Kyle's game. A road trip we can go to. Kyle, did you know we play UTSA on the road next year?
I did. Yeah, San Antonio. I will not be making that trip.
Okay.
And neither will you.
You never know. You want to go with me?
No, you say all the time you're going places and you never do. Screw that. That's way too long. I watched that on TV. It's retarded that we're in the same conference with UTSA. And they got a good football program. Don't get me wrong. I have respect for UTSA, but just don't even get me started.
All right. Anyway, it's going to be a tough schedule next year. But the good news is that you win those games, a lot of those games, and we'll be in really good shape. And you've got to think, I'll say this too, one more thing about 2023. You got to think we're going to be favored to win the conference. We're right up there for sure.
I don't know about that. Brand new quarterback, potentially Keaton Mitchell leaving. I don't know if we'll be favored. I don't know who we'll be. We'll be in the upper echelon. But you're going to have UTSA. You're going to have Tulane. Memphis.
Yeah.
So SMU will be good next year. So I don't know if we'll be favored, but we'll be at the top of the conference for sure.
No doubt, and certainly it'll be our luck. We win the conference, and then everybody says watered down. That's the way we want it. But hey, I don't care. As long as we win a championship, that's all that matters. Right now, though, let's focus on Houston, Bubba. I know tomorrow night we have the Pirates preview and Ted Pardee. He's a great guy and longtime analyst there for Houston for the Cougs. We'll have that show for you tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, Clayton Tune, the veteran quarterback for Houston, thrown for over 3,000 yards already and two tremendous signal callers. And with he and Holton Ahlers doing battle this weekend at Dowdy-Ficklin. So we'll get his thoughts on that matchup. And he actually, when I was setting it up tonight, he said that, hey, the Cougs are a little bit shaky right now, especially on the defensive side. So it'll be intriguing nonetheless.
I mean, 77 points. I mean, that just how many was it? Did you say, Bubba, it was six possessions in the third quarter for SMU? Was that right?
I have no idea.
It was something crazy in the third quarter.
But they can score, too. They're struggling on defense, but they can score.
That's very possible, though.
Well, they can score. Just keep that in mind. You don't want to come out you don't want to come out cold against them and dig a hole.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, we need to come out hot and stay hot.
And we'll talk more about that. But yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
The hell is that?
Mark Lindsay wanted to chime in.
Oh, okay. Somebody take the soundboard away from Bubba.
Yeah, he's
sorry. That's what happens at 11:20 at night.
Yeah, time to wrap it up.
No doubt. All right, we'll have that again. Want to thank our great sponsors. By the way, our great show, The Pirate Football Playback, is presented by L&K Custom Homes. Call Kevin Walker now, 336-688-8466.
Don't call him now. Don't call him now.
But don't call him. Well, it depends on when they're watching the show, Kyle. If it's live, don't call him. But if it's archived, you're watching.
Call him during normal business hours.
Yes, do that for sure. Appreciate him. Want to thank our good friends at Porky's Backyard Barbecue, my good friend Mark Holiday. He's a little bit under the weather. He's got procedure tomorrow, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for him. Thoughts and prayers for him tomorrow. I want to say hello to him and his wife, Betsy. I'll see them. Then we have on the other one is, I want to mention pgxgloves.com, right, Kyle?
Yeah, pgxgloves.com. Go order yourself. It's holiday season. Maybe you want to get your kids some custom gloves for Christmas if they play football or baseball or softball or tetherball or any other kind of ball. Or maybe you want to get yourself Maybe you want to get yourself some custom-made golf gloves. Those would look super cool on the golf course. You could show them off. You could do the little thing where you put your hands together like the football players do now after you make a hole-in-one. Show your friends like that. Yep. Go to pgxclubs.com, put in promo code ECU, save yourself 25% at checkout. I like it a lot. There you go.
I'm sorry, Bubba.
Yeah, Lloyd Christmas, you know, he made sure he had those extra gloves in Aspen.
Yeah.
Yes, for Dumb and Dumber. Is that your favorite movie, Bubba?
It's one of many.
I mean, I like that movie. I'm not
It wouldn't be my favorite, but it's
wouldn't even be in my top 10.
Yeah, I like it, but I was at ECU when that movie came out, so a classic and also a great rental at Blockbuster, but I digress. Let's get out of here. Thank you so much, Kyle, brother. We appreciate you so much, and we're thinking about you. We're all on Team Kyle, and hang in there because things are going to go your way, I promise. And whatever we have to do, we're going to push you, pull you to the finish line and get over this stuff. And I know you've been working hard on that. So we're thinking about you, my man. And I hope to see you on, Saturday for sure. By the way,
look, let me tell you something. Well, I might be wearing a damn ski mask in 50 degree weather, and the first person that comments on it gets slapped.
Yeah, like Ric Flair. Woo! They're going to do it like that. But 2:00 on ESPN Plus, we want to get people right behind me, like the stadium. That was a state game, if you see that background. And we want to get as many people as we can. They had about a week ago, they had sold about 40,000 seats. So we're hoping that number has creeped up to, 45,000 would be nice.
I just want 40,000. We actually have 40,000 butts in seats. I'll be satisfied.
That would be fantastic. But call 1-800-DIAL-ECU or ecupirates.com. The Three Amigos is, oh my gosh, that is a great movie. I love that. That was really funny. Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and Martin Short.
I've been into Westerns here lately, modern Westerns.
I saw that. That's a good – yeah, by the way, I was going to tell you, you're not old. I think that there's a – I think it's that – speaking of underrated, I think that Westerns is one of the most underrated.
I'll give you a good one that came out in 2014 that I watched the other day, Forsaken, with what's his name? Help me out. He played in Young Guns. He played Doc in Young Guns.
Sam Elliott?
No, Sam Elliott was not in Young Guns. You just lost your movie card. Young Guns 2, he played Doc. Why can I not think of his name? Anyway, he's in the damn movie. He plays the main character.
And, Donald Sutherland?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, that's right.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland is his dad, who is also in this movie.
Okay.
For a second. Yeah. And it's great movie. Great Western. Came out in 2014. Watched it the other day. You got Amazon Prime, it's on there. So there's some viewing suggestion for you.
When I think of Kiefer Sutherland, I think of the cowboy way with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, he's played in a lot of, that's not really a Western, but he's played in a lot of cowboy type movies. He's good in those roles. Young Guns franchises 1 and 2 are two of my favorite movies of all time. So immediately think of Kiefer Sutherland in those movies.
All right. We could talk movies all night, but I know we're going to go to bed here around 11:30 on the East Coast. So we'll get out of here. Thank you, Kyle, brother. Appreciate you, Bubba. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody watching and listening. You've been watching and listening to, and that will be the Pirate Football Playback presented by L&K Custom Homes. And it's right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
You've been watching the Pirate Football Playback on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night on our YouTube channel and Facebook Live as we talk East Carolina football. Follow us on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Please like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show. Go Pirates! Keep a plank or the Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of rowdy sailors in here. Armed and ready, bang the lane, be aware, because if the back board break, glass spray.